Church, say amen. Amen. Yeah, I love to just listen to that song. I know you're supposed to be singing when you worship. This a cappella is so beautiful, isn't it? And so I catch myself listening sometimes to a song like that. Yeah, you're a little loud right now. But David always bring them songs in like that, don't he? You happy to be alive tonight? God is good, isn't he? God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. A man approved of God. If you're here tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You indeed are a very honored guest of the audience. Amen. We believe that the Bible is right. And we want you to be saved tonight. That's what we don't want no one coming in trying to figure out what we want you to do. We want you to be saved. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to know that we believe in the churches of Christ that we got to do it God's way. Amen. And God's way of salvation is teaching the gospel to every creature. And when you teach the gospel, you teach a man or woman that Christ died for you. He died for your sins, according to the scripture. And that he was buried and rose again the third day. And all of this is according to the scripture. And you, upon hearing that gospel, can obey it. But you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Decide to repent, change your life. Then confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized. And we got water over here at Holland Heights. Because we know one is not saved until they're buried with Christ in baptism. And baptism is absolutely essential because Christ said it. Amen. And we're going to do what he said do. Is that right? So you're not saved until you're baptized. And so we want you to be baptized tonight. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. And that's the only one that you ever hear us preach about. Now over here, we believe in one God and one church. And that church teaches what Christ told them to teach. And they were the wife of Christ is the church. And that wife wears the husband's name. And the husband of the church is Christ. And so it's the Church of Christ. If you're not in the Church of Christ, we hope you'll leave tonight added to the Church of Christ by the Lord. Is that good? That's all right. And so you can join it. The Lord would add you to it after you obey his plan of salvation. I hope you all enjoying the book of Acts. Great book of the Bible. Amen, somebody. And so we just want to get into that this evening and teach some more of that. But I guess before I get into it, I should say to the brothers, I appreciate the great turnout today. Amen. We had a wonderful turnout of all of our leaders as we were trying to reorganize and do some things. And just so you know, we were standing, we was trying that, and we decided we're not going to do that no more. We're just going to start with a song. We're going to start with a song. We're coming to this house. And so when you hear that song, that's your cue to quit talking and sit down. Yeah. We got to do things decent in order. That all right? We're trying to make it where God's going to be pleased with the service. We don't want no attention on us. Because we're just mere servants. We're the object of worship is God. And so I think we got a good plan in place. Is that all right? So we just want you all to know. You see us tweaking some things. We're just trying to get better at it. That's all. That's all. And so we got a great group of men. Everybody's got the right spirit. I like that. And they're ready to work. A man approved of God. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. In Acts chapter 2, we've learned now the day he was taken up in chapter 1. We learned about that and how he told the apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait till they endowed with power from on high. Then we learned about how Matthias was added to the ministry and the apostleship. And then on this morning, we learned about that great day of Pentecost. And I talked about how the Bible, the book of Acts is the history of the Church of Christ. And Peter, on this day, stood up with 11. And they heard him speak in their own language. And we talked about tongues speaking on this morning. And I want to go right back to the verse number 14. Where I know Peter standing up is an indication of Peter getting ready to use the keys that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 16. And when he said in verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail unto it, against it. And he told Peter, I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He told Peter this, that you are Peter, that rock. Thou art Peter, and upon the rock, and the rock was the confession that Peter, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so Peter were given keys. And now in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and starts to use the keys of the kingdom. Notice what he says, Peter standing up.
But Peter standing up with the 11.
Lifted up his voice.
And said unto them.
Ye
men of Judah.
Ye men of Judea.
And all you that dwell in Jerusalem.
All ye that dwell at Jerusalem.
Be this known unto you. And hearken to my words.
Read.
For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken to you by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Right.
And on my
now hold it right there. He says, when he stood up with the 11, who were they?
The apostles.
Peter now is beginning to preach the first gospel sermon. There's never been a gospel sermon preached until this day. Peter is, in fact, the first ever gospel preacher. And here you go. Drop down to verse 22, because I explained to Joel all that this morning. Drop down to verse 22. Listen to him preach.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know.
Now, Peter has the attention of his audience. He starts preaching the gospel. Who commanded the gospel to be preached? Jesus did. When he appeared to him, he came back and he told him in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach what?
The
gospel. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. So he told Peter to go preach the gospel. So the gospel as recorded in 1 Corinthians 15 is what he preached. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believe in vain.
For I delivered unto you first of all. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture.
And when a gospel preacher preached the gospel, he preached how that Christ, what did he do?
Died.
Christ died.
For our sins,
according to the scriptures. Read.
And that he was buried.
Christ was buried.
And that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures.
And Christ rose again the third day, according to the scripture. So Peter is preaching. He's going to preach the death, burial, and resurrection in this sermon. Now, here's something we need to know. Peter is using the keys, and he's loosening it. Some things on earth, and whatever he loosed is loosed on and is bound, and whatever he loosed is loosed, and whatever he bound is bound in heaven. Now, any man who don't preach the death, burial, and resurrection did not preach the gospel. I say it again. Any preacher who don't specifically preach the death, burial, and resurrection didn't preach a gospel message. He can preach the word of God and never mention the gospel. How do you know, Brother Brooks? There's a lot of them doing it today. They're preaching the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. A man can preach the word of God and help you be a better husband, a better wife, teach your children how to obey their parents. Preaching the word of God can help a man or woman be successful in life. But if they're going to be saved, they got to hear the gospel. And Peter's going to preach the gospel to him. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man
approved of God.
Who was he? Jesus was a man approved of God. How was he approved
among
of
you
God?
By miracles.
He was approved by miracles.
And wonders and signs.
Signs
which God did,
God
by, him
did by him
in the midst of you.
In the midst of you.
As you are, as you yourselves also know.
Peter said, this man, Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the one you crucified. You killed him on that cross. This man, Jesus, was approved of God. He approved, God approved who he was by miracles, wonders and signs in your midst. You know that he was Son of God. He, God proved who he was in your midst. He calmed the raging sea and said, peace be still. In their midst, he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In their midst, this man approved of God. Walked on water. And the disciples there saw it. Israel knew there was a man in town named Jesus. This man in the midst of them turned wine, water into wine. This man, Jesus, who was approved of God, took mud and spit, put in a man's eyes, and that man could see. Signs and wonders he did. This man in the midst of them spoke to a dead man named Lazarus, called him forth from the grave, and he came forth. Who was this man? This was Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. That man, verse 23, him
being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Predetermined by God.
Ye have taken.
No one could change it. This was the foreknowledge of God. God knew that one day he would have to lift him up on a hill called Calvary. It was a predetermined, a determinant counsel. God so loved the world that he sent his only God, begotten Son. And they took him and hung him on Calvary's hill. This was the foreknowledge of God. That man, you took him. And by wicked hands
have crucified and
there's
slain
that death
him.
He talking about. That man, you crucified him and slain him with wicked hands. God knew they would crucify his son. Peter let Israel know, you were the one did it. You took him. You took him by wicked hands and you crucified and slain him. Listen to him preach.
Whom God has raised up.
They raised him up.
Have loosed the plains of.
Who did they raise up? God raised up that man that he approved. A man approved of God. They crucified him on the cross. But God got him up. That's what the Bible says. God got him up and loosed him from the pains of death. Because it was not possible
that he should be holding of it.
The Bible said it was not possible for death to hold Christ. It was not possible. God got him up. God proved that he was God when he raised him up and he loosed the pains of death. For David speak it
concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always.
Foresaw the Lord always.
Before my face.
Before my face.
For he is my
right
hand.
For he is on my right hand.
That I should not be moved.
That I should not be moved. Now Peter, this gospel preacher, a member of the Church of Christ, the first gospel preacher, Peter the apostle, wasn't given the keys by the man approved of God. This man is preaching the gospel. He's quoting scripture. What gospel preachers do, they quote scripture. They're what God, don't they, brother? We know Church of Christ preachers, they quote what?
Scripture.
We say we speak where the Bible speak, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. So Peter is a gospel preacher, preacher of the Church of Christ, showing that when it comes down to preaching to people, we don't need to preach our feelings and what's going on in our lives, but we preach scripture. Is that right? People want to know what the scripture say, what God say. Amen, somebody. That's why we don't need a whole lot of testimonies. The word of God is sufficient. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What do we need to do as gospel preachers? Do what Peter did. Use scripture. That's what we do. He said, David speaking concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand.
That I should not be moved.
Listen to him, therefore.
Therefore did my heart rejoice.
Did my heart rejoice.
And my tongue was glad.
And my tongue was glad.
Moreover, also my flesh
shall rest in hope. Read.
Because thou wilt not leave my soul.
Thou wilt not leave my soul.
In hell. Neither wilt thou suffer
the Holy One
to see corruption. Thou hast
David spoke as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 17 said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide them in all truth. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but a holy men spake, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. David was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he was moved to say that Christ, our Lord, King of Kings and the Prince of Peace, soul would not be left in hell. Peter is telling them now, David told y'all a long time ago that when they buried the Son of God, the gates of hell would not hold him. His body would not see the cave. Amen. It wouldn't see corruption. Sound like Jesus when he said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is what he was talking about. When they buried him in hell, this is not the hell where you're going to burn at. He was talking about when a man or woman died, they go beneath the ground. The body goes in the ground. That the body returned to dust. And his body will see corruption, or the body will decay. But I want you to know that body will be right there until Jesus come back. But the Bible is telling me that Jesus the Christ, he died on the cross. But they took him down, buried him in a grave. They call that grave hell, or they call that grave Hades, of the Hadean world, and they buried him in that Hadean world. But the Bible is telling us that that gate right there, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. He said that when David said when they buried him right there, that God was going to raise him up. And the Bible tells me that they buried him, but early, one Sunday morning. Amen, somebody, I'm trying to get you to see. It's the same Jesus of Nazareth that man approved of God. His body did not see corruption, and hell couldn't hold him. He got up. He resurrected. That's the man approved of God. And I'm so glad he got up, because if he had not got up, I couldn't be a gospel preacher. If he had not got up, Peter couldn't preach the gospel message. If he had not got up, none of us could be saved. But because he got up, it's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Am I right about this thing? This is good to any gospel preacher, because that's the best news you can tell anybody. That's good, brother. Well, I like that. Woo, that's what makes good gospel preaching. That's why my ministerial class. You see, this is good right here, guys. This is what it's all about. Right here. Isn't that good news? Then y'all, I'm supposed to be teaching y'all about that hell, boy. I got good to me. But y'all got that now. What the grave? It was called what?
Hell.
Now Jesus said he was going to build his church. Now when he died on the cross, he shed his blood on that cross. And the rock was the confession that he was the son. Go back over there, Matthew 16:13. Let's get there. Let me bring you up to that real quick. Because he purchased his church and hell didn't stop it. You have verse 13? Let's go.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
yeah,
he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?"
Yes, sir.
And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist,
read,
some Elias, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets."
Yeah.
He said to them, "But whom do ye say I am?"
That who you say I am. What happened?
And Simon Peter answered
and said. There that gospel preacher go. Who said it?
Simon Peter.
What did Peter say?
"Thou art the Christ."
Here come that confession. Here come that rock. He said, "Thou art the Christ,
the Son of the living God."
The Son of the living God. And then Jesus said.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are thou, Simon."
Blessed are you, Simon.
"For flesh and blood has not revealed
flesh and blood it unto thee." The predetermined, the determined council knew this. Flesh and blood couldn't have known this. That's why Peter said, by his determined accounts, foreknowledge of God. You got that? So he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but who did it?
But my Father in heaven.
The Father, the determined counsel. Read.
And I say also to thee.
And I say to Peter. Jesus speaking there. He said, I say to you, Peter.
Upon this rock I will build my church.
Peter wasn't a rock. Some today say Peter was the rock. Peter wasn't a rock. Upon this rock,
upon this confession,
that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he will build his church. And
the gates of hell.
This gate of hell
shall not prevail against it.
So he couldn't have built a church if he stayed in the grave. Acts 20:28, the Bible says, "Take heed unto yourself, or the flock which made your whole overseer, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." How did he buy the church? He bought it with the blood. They took him down after he purchased the church, buried him in hell. But his body did not see corruption because he got up early Sunday morning. But one thing he left there, in the grave with the collar sepulcher. He left a napkin folded. You know how men are. We normally leave our place in a mess when we leave. Jesus didn't do that, did he? Everything was folded neatly in the napkin. You know, they say it was a folded napkin. You know the story behind the napkin? Y'all don't know it. Well, good, I can tell you. See, back then we had a master-slave relationship. What would happen? The slave knew that long, and they would watch the master as he ate around the table. They were serving food and everything, and he would use the napkin. As long as the napkin was folded, that means the master wasn't finished. But if the napkin was folded and balled up, that means clean the table because master won't be back. So Jesus left the napkin folded. Because the master, that great, that good shepherd, when they hung him on the cross, he was a great shepherd when he died on the cross. But one day, he's coming back as the chief shepherd because he left his napkin folded. Said, I'm coming back. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy labor. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going. The master's gone to prepare a place for you. But I'm coming back because I ain't finished. I'm going to gather my children up, gather my church up, take her home to the Father's house. I'm so glad he left that napkin folded, don't you? Coming back!
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Lord have mercy. This is good, man. Jesus left, he left us fixed up, didn't he? Wow. How many of y'all knew that? Verse 28.
Thou hast made known to me the ways of life.
Ooh.
Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance.
God has made known through Jesus the way of life. Talking about what? Eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way. This man approved of God. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. But there's a warning. There's a way that seemeth right unto me, but the end thereof, of the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. And Peter is still preaching now. Verse 29. He said, men and brethren,
let me speak freely unto you.
Unto you.
Of the patriarch David. That he is both dead
David
and
is
buried.
Both. He said, now you know about that patriarch, one of your forefathers, David. He's both dead
and buried.
David was not Jesus. So now they're going back and say, hey, he said, let me tell you about your patriarch. The Jews looked at David as a king. You know, that patriarch is both dead and buried. And he says this, his sepulcher is with us.
Is with us this day.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, being a prophet.
Being a prophet.
And knowing that God has sworn.
Knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him.
That the fruit of his loins. According to the flesh.
According to the flesh.
He would raise up
Christ. He would raise up Christ.
To sit in his throne.
There's that death, burial, and resurrection. See, he's preaching death, burial, and.
Resurrection.
Therefore, he's letting them know. Peter said that David. King David is dead. And you know it. You know he's dead. Because his grave. His sepulcher is still with us. That's why I'm a Christian and not a Muslim.
Amen.
Christ died and he got up. Muhammad died and he's still dead. And the sepulcher is over there where they buried him at. They know he didn't get up. I serve a risen Savior. Yes, sir. That's why I'm not a Muslim. That's why I don't serve Muhammad. Muhammad's still dead. That's what he was telling them. Same, he was telling the Jews the same thing. David the king is still dead, and you know it. But there's a man that proved the God. He got up. That was Jesus of Nazareth. Watch what he says. He's seen this before. Speak of the resurrection.
Speak of the resurrection of Christ. And his soul was not left in hell. Neither his flesh did see corruption.
Was it left there? Did his body decay? No. God said it wouldn't, and it didn't happen. David, being a prophet, was speaking. When he was preaching, when David was speaking, he was talking about God the Father would raise up Christ from the grave. Who got up? It was a man approved of God. Who was it? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to Peter, he's still preaching.
This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore, whereof we all are witnesses.
Read on.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for us, which ye now see and hear.
Read.
For David is not ascended into the heavens.
Yeah.
But he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Uh-huh. Until I make thy enemies thy footstool.
Where's Jesus at right now? Right hand. Sitting on the right hand of the Father. And Peter's letting them know. David knew that who will be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Christ. That it'll be Christ Jesus. And he told them that he was set up there on the right hand of the Father until his foes or enemies would be his footstool. Verse 35. That last enemy. He'll be there until the last enemy is shut down. What's the last enemy? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verses number 25. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed.
That shall be destroyed.
Is death.
Is death. That's the last enemy. And he's going to reign until no man would ever die again. Which means as long as we are living, Jesus is still reigning. He's on the right hand of the Father. And because he's still reigning, and because I haven't died and you haven't died, we have hope of eternal life. I'm so glad that he's going to shut death down. And I'm glad to know that there's coming a day when there'll be no more reasons to cry. No more pain and no more hospitals. No more dying. For death had been shut down by Jesus in my Father. I'm trying to get you closed now. I'm glad. I don't know about you. But I don't like going to funerals. I don't like it. But I know that's God telling us something. When we go to a funeral, we come to the house of mourning. For because God says better that we come to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting. God says better that I make you sorry than I make you laugh. It's better for man. Why is that better? Because if we go to the house of mourning, that we know one day we're going to die. And they're going to have to bury us in the ground. They're going to have to bury us right there. Our old bodies will see corruption. The old body go back to the dust. And the spirit will return unto God who gave it. But the soul of man will live on. And that one day that soul is going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And give an account of the things he or she had done in this body. There's coming a day when we have to stand there and every secret thing will be revealed. That's why Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. And that's why you want forgiveness. Because when you obey God, he said, your sins I will remember no more. See, you don't want that coming up. Yes, it's good right here. So Peter is now getting ready to tell Israel what to do. He said, therefore,
let all the house of Israel.
Hold it right there. That one word. Therefore what? Therefore what? What I just told you. That man Jesus, that was approved of God, that David talked about. That man who David talked about. Therefore, since you know who he was, you know he got up, but you know David's grave is still here with you. Since you know that by the determinate counsel that God said you would kill him, they buried him, but he got up, resurrected. Therefore, Israel, here's what you need to know. Let all the house of Israel
know assuredly
that God
had made that same Jesus
whom you crucified,
both Lord and Christ,
Master and Savior. He's Lord and Christ. And when they heard this. When they heard what?
The gospel.
When they heard that they had crucified the Son of God, and the proof that he was the Son of God is that he got up. Amen. David didn't. When they knew, when they heard, we did it. We were the one who, with our wicked hands, had slain and crucified the Son of God. They said.
They were pricked in their heart.
They were pricked. Oh, Lord. This is the heart they're talking about. What'd they say?
They were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
What shall we do? Somebody ought to ask that question tonight. This is the greatest question a person can ask in their life. What shall we do? What had they done? Crucified Jesus, a man approved of God. Somebody said, well, brother, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. I don't know anything worse than killing Jesus. I don't know anything we could do worse than killing the Son of God, actually crucifying him. But here's what he told him. Peter said to him, repent
and be baptized.
And be baptized. Every one of you
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of your sins.
What was the sin? Crucifying Jesus. You know, that gives me hope. You know, we think we do some bad things. But you know what? As long as you come to repentance, you can be forgiven. That's good news tonight. Because it might be somebody in this audience. You say, but I did a whole lot of bad things in my life. And I say to you, when they heard what they had did, they were pricked in their heart. And said, what in the world are we going to do? And I will tell you tonight the same thing Peter told them. Repent. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you'll receive the gift
of the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Spirit. That's what he told them to do. Why? This is a promise that God made unto you, to your children, and all them before off. That's us. Even as the many Lord God shall call. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort sin. Save yourself from this untoward generation. And notice this. The last verse says, verse 41 says, then they that gladly
received
his word
were baptized.
That's who get baptized. People who gladly receive the word of God. And the same day
were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Now, you know, when I was in the Macedonia Baptist Church, they didn't baptize us the same day. And what I learned later as a little boy, I didn't know that they didn't do that. When I was in the Macedonia, I'm talking about my family, I'm talking about me. Now, y'all just let me talk about me. Is that good? Yeah, you said, but don't talk about, I ain't talking about you, I'm talking about me. But I was I was missionary Baptist in Macedonia Baptist Church in Hempfield, Texas. And they took us out to a pond, but they didn't take us the same day. And you know, my brother was one of those who went out to that pond. My little brother who died at the age of 20. You know what I learned later? That in Baptist church, we didn't believe you had to be baptized to be saved. You know, I didn't know that, Butte. I didn't know that. I thought that's what they said we were saved when we accepted Jesus in our heart. But you go back and you just read the simple story of the Bible. And that man preached the gospel to him. He told him what to do. And the Bible says they took the time the same day to baptize 3,000 people. And those folk wouldn't take the time to baptize four of us. You know, I'm going to tell you something wrong with that. Amen. There's something wrong with that. And I'll be the first preacher that'll see it. If nobody else won't see it, I'll see it. And I wouldn't be in a church that wouldn't baptize the same day. Amen. And I wouldn't sit on a preacher who say baptism not essential. Because he just done got way too smart. He knows something Jesus didn't know. Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said in Mark 16, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. That man knows something Peter didn't know. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Peter came back and wrote in 1 Peter 3:21. He said, baptism does also now save us. Ananias told Jesus in Saul in Acts 22:16, arise while tarriest thou, be baptized, wash away your sins. I wouldn't be in a church that didn't preach baptism with essential. I'd run from it. And Paul said in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Not saved by grace only. You got to obey God. Amen. Know ye not that many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with Christ by baptism, that like as Christ were raised up, just like he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall rise to walk in newness life. Why do you baptize somebody? Because the men approved of God said so. And I dare any preacher in Houston, anywhere else, to refute Jesus. He was the one approved to give the command. And smart folk wouldn't sit on a preacher like that. Don't sit on them. Get out of it and get your family out. Get out of it, run from it, and get your mom and dad, everybody out of it. That's right. The one approved of God said you got to be baptized. Amen. That's right. Don't stop. And don't stop until you get all your family out. Amen, somebody. Amen. You're scared to tell them, bring them over here. Tell them. Tell them for you. Yeah, I'll tell them for you. Makes me upset. I don't like it. Some wonderful people in the churches, and these men are telling them things that they ought to be able to read it. They say, if you see Jesus said it, I just don't see why you got to be baptized. Well, you stop reading your Bible then. Tell me you don't see. Lord have mercy. I got to stop today. That don't bother y'all. Sometimes I think I'm the only one get bothered by stuff like that. Huh? It amazes me. People just sit there, and there's some of these people, no, I might need to be baptized. You amaze me when you just sit there and don't do it. That's right. I'm hoping somebody tonight, I've I preach hard enough for you to walk down here now if you had good use of your mind. You just run down to the front. Isn't that right? Seems like to me a man will run down to the front if he know he hadn't been water. Sometimes I want to go back to the water myself, don't you? Huh? You started hearing about how Jesus Christ died, and you said, man, I know I need to go back. Seems like you want to go back to the water. Yeah, that's because you respect the word of God. So who should come? I'm trying to get somebody tonight to obey the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, rose again. You believe that? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He to come to God, what? Must believe. And then you got to repent. That's the third thing. You got to say, man, I want to be baptized, Brother Brooks. They didn't baptize me the same day either. I said, you're just like me, run from that. Get back and come back and get baptized again, according to truth. That's right. And then you got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What are you going to do? I'm going to do you like this. We're going to ask you, leave me your hand. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What you going to answer?
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah. Now, the man approved of God said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before God. Who's that man? Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, he was approved to see it. So don't you think you're going to get up there on the day of judgment and he's going to take his word back. He's not taking it back. He's not going to take it back. He said, confess me before me. So what, anybody that want to be saved, they don't have a shame in their game about that. They'll stand before anybody and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then what you going to do with a preacher? Baptize him. Why? Well, I just got through telling you all that. Because the man approved that God commanded it. And that by itself is enough for me to do it. Is the water ready, Holla Hike?
Yes.
Clothes ready?
Yes.
We ready?
Yes.
Angels on standby. I wonder if somebody will come tonight as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement. Have you heard about him? Come on. Come on to the Lord.
Heard the thrilling story of my Savior.
Come on to the Lord.
Wondrous love.
Come on to him tonight.
Have you ever known a reason for his birth?
Have you heard?
Did you hear?
Come on to
how
him.
God the Father
be baptized tonight.
Send his blessings from
man approved of God.
Giving glory to the Savior.
Have you heard
of the earth? Oh, have you heard about my Lord? Oh, have you heard his holy word? Have you heard about this Jesus from Galilee.
Come on to him.
Well, he's coming.
He's coming.
Some
glad
morning.
Well,
oh,
he's coming.
Yes, he's coming.
What are you coming for?
After me.
He's coming after you.
He's a wonderful,
wonderful
Savior.
Haven't you heard about him?
Have you
Wouldn't you come tonight? Anybody over here need to come to the Lord? How about right
have
here?
Have you heard?
Have you heard about
it? Redemption?
By redemption.
Bought by Jesus.
Second chance.
On the cross.
Have you heard?
Have you ever heard his precious?
Have you heard? Would you come to
him?
How about right here?
Did you hear?